This episode is brought to you by CarterComics.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your comic needs, whether it be graded or raw. Carter Comics has got it all. All you gotta do is go to CarterComics.com, fill your cart up with all their amazing comics. Use the discount code FREAKNET, F-R-E-A-K-N-E-T. Save you 10% at checkout. Not only on their website, but also at their eBay account. And the link to eBay can be found on their homepage at CarterComics.com. Again, CarterComics.com is your one-stop shop for all comic needs. What's up, everybody? I am Travesty.
I'm Dizzle J.
And welcome back to another episode of This Freaking Show. It is the weekly podcast with a little bit of something and a whole lot of nothing. If you're watching, you could clearly see this is not Cartoon Joe. And if you're listening, clearly Cartoon Joe didn't announce himself. Joe's doing family stuff, enjoying his weekend as he should, being a married man with somebody who loves him. Me, on the other hand, well, the opposite. So I got all the time in the fucking world. And Dizzle J decided that he would help me out here and help put out a show this week, which is fantastic because if you know anything about Dizzle J, 420 is his favorite holiday. Not for the reason we're going to talk about here today, but no. for other reasons.
For other reasons.
Obviously, J420, which I don't understand why, and maybe you can explain it to me. Like, what is it about 420 that has anything to do with marijuana?
It started way before our time. I forget what it was, but I think they're.
Well, keep in mind, your time was also way before my time. Like, come on now.
I mean, not that far apart. You're talking 60s, 70s, I believe this started, and I think...
Yeah, but you're about, what, like 12 years older than me? 15 years older than me?
I'm 41, yeah.
6 years older than me? Okay, so you just look 15 fucking years older than me.
Yeah, well...
That probably has a lot to do with, you know, your 420 lifestyle. You know, so whatever.
I'll tell you what, the other people my age look a lot worse than I do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you know, you look as old as your hairline. But tell me, explain to me 420. Like, what's the purpose of drug use on April 20th?
420 is the national high time. So on 420, it's National High Day. That's
why.
I don't know.
Oh, honestly, okay. No. So you just participate in the holiday. You just don't know what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, celebrate the holiday I like most.
Awesome. Well, you remind me of your children around Christmas and Day of Gifts. Sure, that's fine. Now, y'all forget about the greatest gift ever, but hey, that's fine. Yeah.
Actually, they know that story. They do attend church.
Solid. Clutch. But we're not talking about marijuana today. I want to talk about something that's a bit sombering. And... I'm sure it's going to be recognized on the news and everything, especially with it being the 25th year anniversary of it. But I want to talk a little bit about the Columbine shooting that happened. It's a hard thing to really talk about just because, well, the tragedy that, you know, it was and everything. But I feel that it needs to be recognized as something that really did happen in this country. And regardless of the fact that, you know, school shootings have happened before Columbine, and they have happened since. I remember a couple of friends of mine, they weren't so much, it's weird because it was a 2008. It was like 2008. There was a shooting at NIU. I don't know if you remember hearing about that up in Northern.
I believe so.
Yeah, I want to say it was like two. I remember I was working at Sears when it happened, and I want to say it was like 2008, maybe 2009. Shit, it could have been 2007 for all I remember. But it was with that time frame that I was on break from work, and I got like a voicemail from my buddy. It was like, hey, you know, Travis, it's Matt. I'm not sure if you heard, but there was a shooting here at NIU. Me and Amanda are safe. Just figured I'd let you know. And I had no idea what the fuck he was talking about. And I obviously Googled it and I saw what happened. They weren't in the area of the shooting, but it's still a terrifying feeling knowing that they were in the vicinity of what occurred. Virginia Tech was also a big one that happened following Columbine. And even now, even today into 2024, you still hear about shootings that happen, scares of potential shootings happening. And it's not just schools, it's malls, it's parades. I believe there was a shooting that occurred at the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. It was the year before, whatever it was. It's a very real thing. And, you know, the news could cover it as much as they want. But I think as podcasters, as normal people, you know, not people who are, you know, that people look to it as like, oh, you know, well, this celebrity's talking about it because, you know, it kind of spotlights them for a minute. And that's not what I want to do. I'm not here to be put into the spotlight of anything, to, you know, based on the conversation I want to have with you today. But it's a recognizable thing. Because even when I was in high school, like we had a scare, but we never had the incident occur. You know, there was a moment where there was rumor to be guns on the property. It ended up being false. Thank God nothing ever occurred. But when I sat there and I grew up in the area I grew up in, and I believe because I went to Pearson High School, I believe you went to Manteno.
Yeah, we're pretty much same area.
Yeah, so I don't recall an incident like that ever happening in Manteno either. I don't know if you guys ever went through scares and stuff like that, like there was ever a call-in or anything in your high school. Do you recall that ever happening?
Not while I was in high school, but I do know that a gun was brought to the schools, I want to say, 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay. But
They got the guy, they caught the kid, and the kid's rehabilitator or whatever, he actually went back to school and is now functioning normally with meds and stuff like that.
Well, you're graduated, the year you graduated, you're
01.
Okay, so Columbine was 99, 2 years before you graduated high school. I think in that time was probably more terrifying than anything. In 2001, I think, so if I graduated in 07, so I was like fifth, sixth grade when Columbine happened. At a younger age, it wasn't really something that registered with me. You know, I was still, you know, 11, 12 or whatever the hell it was when it happened. I remember in elementary school, you put on like these what they call them, concerts, I guess, music concerts, whatever the hell it was, or I don't remember the exact word of it, but you know, basically we, you know, go in front of it. It was mostly, you know, around Christmas time. I just forget what the hell they're called, like Christmas.
Concert is what they call them.
Yeah, concerts, performances, whatever the hell it is. But I remember us doing one that wasn't around Christmas. It wasn't around a holiday. But there was a song that we played that we sang in honor of Columbine. And I think I played it on this podcast when me and Cartoon Joe kind of covered Columbine years ago. And it was called We Might Heal, which I didn't hear it since we performed it in elementary school, and I was able to Google it and play it and listen to it, and it brought back all these fucking memories. But as a child, as a kid, when that happened, it still never registered what exactly happened, what the situation was, what really happened in Colorado. I think it was Columbine. Was it Columbine, yeah. Colorado? Yeah.
Colorado.
Yeah. Boulder, was it? I can't fucking remember. I got the information. I can look it up easily, but for me, it never registered. In Columbine, Colorado, Columbine High School. That makes a lot more sense. Was Boulder the theater shooting? There was a shooting during like a DC movie in Colorado, right?
I believe, yeah, that green-haired guy.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But again, like when I was, yeah, like I said, like when I was, I guess honestly in 99, I was 10. So it, like I said, it didn't register with me. 10 years old, God, I was like, what, fifth grade? Fourth grade? Fuck.
Yeah, fourth,
fifth. You were high school. Dude, you were, what, sophomore? Sophomore, yeah, junior when it happened?
Yeah, 16. So we got, if I remember correctly, we got pulled into classrooms and shown the news.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is scary to a degree, but then, like, we live in Manteno. You know, it's, but then we started, like, well, which kids would it be here? Because that's where how fucked up my dark sense of humor is.
Well, that's I think that was everyone's mindset, because it almost becomes like a profiling thing at that point.
Right.
You know, and I think it's human nature to have that feeling. I mean, 9/11, look what that did as far as profiling people, you know. And but Columbine, yeah, it has, like, you know, they sit here and they look at the kids that, you know, who shot up Columbine. They were, you know, loners, quiet kids, you know, a little bit different. The scary part is my, you know, those were the friends that I grew up with in high school, were the quiet loner kids. Hell, some of them worked at McDonald's when I worked at McDonald's. I know for a fact that that mindset didn't occur when we were in high school. Again, this was 6 years later, 7 years later. So that stigma, that idea kind of, you know, faded away. But I mean, when you got friends like I hung out with who, you know, wore, you know, black shirts, long black trench coats and shit like that, you know, if my buddies who wore shit like that wore that stuff to high school in, you know, 99, 2000, there'd probably be some fucking questions. But in 2006, 2007, it kind of like that kind of passed, you know, that wasn't really, you know, thought of. But anyways, so the Columbine shooting happened at Columbine High School on April 20th, 1999. As I mentioned before we started recording, it was only about 49 minutes long. It happened from 11:19 a.m. to 12:08 p.m. Obviously, you know, the shooter's names are pretty well known. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold performed the act, I guess, you know, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
I first realized what the impact on the world was from this after watching a documentary called Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah, that was a good documentary.
It was. We just talked about in JFW how I love documentaries and I love, you know, learning about shit. Not all good. You know, obviously, you know, even negative documentaries and everything to educate you. So they used Intratec Tech-9 minigun, a High Point 9.95 carbine, a Savage 67H pump-action shotgun, a Steven 311 double-barrel sawed-off shotgun, 99 explosives, and 4 knives. 15 people died, 24 people were injured. Including the perpetrators, self-inflicted gunshot wounds, took their own lives after the incident. Talk to me a little bit about time in high school. Again, I know you say you got pulled into.
Yeah, we got pulled into classrooms. We watched the news feed, and then I remember mostly the aftermath, the trying to figure out why these guys did it, the bullying. See, that's. And then we got worried because I don't want to say I was a bully in high school, but I didn't take shit from nobody. But I didn't pick on, for lack of a better term, betas.
Yeah.
I went after alphas. I was a big fan of making the jock look like a moron instead of the guy with painted nails. But it became a music thing, a video game thing. They attacked Manson. Violent video games, all this stuff. That's, it didn't make sense to us because, like, yeah. We grew up with that stuff. We grew up watching Bugs Bunny, an Elmer Fudd shooting people in the face and never wanted to do it. These two were obviously mentally ill in some sort of way. Also adding to the bullying, and that just set them off in the wrong way. We could not wear the chain wallets anymore at school. Trench coats couldn't be worn in the hallways. They had to be put in your lockers.
Trench coats, I understand, but what's with the chain wallet?
Because they could be used as a weapon.
Oh, okay.
So you could take it off and easily beat somebody with it. I'm not going to lie, I probably hit somebody with mine when I had one, but it was probably one of my buddies.
Yeah.
But.
So I do want to read some of the information about it. And again, it's kind of off of Wikipedia just because it's easy to access the information on it. Now, obviously, Wikipedia can be edited by anybody and, you know, shit like that. So, reading through what's already there, it sounds pretty accurate based on the documentaries and everything that's been talked about on it. But one of the things you did mention was video games and shit. So Harrison Klebold, who planned for at least a year and hoped to have a large number of victims, intended for the attack to primarily be a bombing and only secondarily a shooting. But when several homemade bombs they planted in the school failed to detonate, the pair launched a shooting attack. Their motive remained inconclusive. The police were slow to enter the school and were heavily criticized for not intervening during the shooting. The incident resulted in the introduction of the immediate action rapid deployment IARD tactic, which is used in active shooter situations, and an increased emphasis on school security with zero tolerance policies. Debates and moral panic were sparked over American gun culture and gun control laws. High school cliques, subcultures, example, goth, outcast, and school bullying, as well as teenage use of pharmaceutical antidepressants, the internet, and violence in video games and movies. I think one game that was heavily criticized, obviously, you know, outside the, you know, the shooting games and all this stuff, Grand Theft Auto, I think, was a game that was heavily criticized, not only for this, but across, like, you know, any, like, you know, aggressive act and shit. You know, people talk about how, you know, like car chases were higher because of Grand Theft Auto. You know, jumping people, beating them up, robbing them, shooting them, and everything was, you know, I think Grand Theft Auto was mostly affected, or was the cause of a lot of that. I don't think with normal kids, like you said, that's not the case.
Right.
Like you said, we watched, you know, Bugs Bunny, you know, cause Elmer Fudd to shoot himself in the face when he bent a gun barrel through a hole out through another hole. Yosemite Sam, all that shit. You know. But you know, I think learning disabilities, I think mental issues that cause kids to think a different way, have a different perspective, causes situations like this to happen. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not claiming anything, and I'm saying it's fact. It's just an opinion. So, you know, for the love of God, don't come at me like I'm, you know, seeing or trying to diagnose kids and shit, because I'm not. It's just an opinion. But another thing you mentioned, bullying was a huge cause. I think a lot of the, you know, shootings that we hear about that we see come from quiet kids who are picked on by, you know, people who have a feeling of entitlement or, you know, a sense of authority over somebody. I'm not big into bullying whatsoever. I fucking hate the idea of people bullying people. I know that it's really tricky when I fucking do two different podcasts. And I've talked about this with Joe before. I think I had this conversation with you, is when you when you listen to, you know, me here on this freaking show, and you hear travesty really being Travis and talking about real life and shit, it's really hard to sit here and say, well, it's weird because he acts like this here, but then when you go over to JFW, he acts like an asshole. And when you go over to JFW and you hear the things I say, sometimes about Nubby, sometimes about you, but mostly about Pac-Man.
Yeah.
it comes off as, you know, definitely, you know, bully-esque. And when you create a character that's the mindset of it, like, that's true. Travesty, in the eyes of JFW, in the eyes of independent wrestling, is a dick, and it comes off as a bully. I mean, shit, we just recorded a show where I went off on a character called Apex.
Yeah.
Matt is a good fucking dude. Matt's a great fucking guy. He's great at creating Apex, his character.
Right.
But Travis is never going to tear down and use a wrestling term, bury Matt. But, you know, Travis is never going to tear apart and bury Pat. Pat's a great fucking dude. I've said that on shows where we were talking real life about how great Pat is, you know.
Awesome. I haven't met Pac-Man in person, but I've met Nubby in person. Mm-hmm. And I know when I was going through the stuff with my kid, all three of you constantly asking me how he was doing, and that meant a lot to me. And I almost thought about introducing myself on this show as DJ instead of Dizzle J, mm-hmm. to have the difference. But I think everybody gets the difference when we're not so animated on this show. We're more talking one-on-one.
How do I say it? The right people know the difference.
Right.
The right mindset of people know the difference, which, yeah, that's why, like, I call myself Travesty here. I call myself Travesty over on JFW, but people know the difference, you know. And, you know, I think the biggest example is, yeah, when you can sit here and you can listen to JFW and I tear apart Pac-Man as an idiot. I tell him to shut the fuck up. I call him dumb. I create a t-shirt called Better Idiot. That's available on tpublic.com. It comes off as like, wow, Travis really is a fucking bully. Travis, you know, well, you're right if you're talking about Travis T. But when you talk about Travis as a person, Travis is a good fucking dude. You know, yeah. It's, but bullying has always been a huge issue in school. I was bullied in school. You know,
I know as a fellow big guy that I put up with a lot of it. Yeah. I don't wear the color yellow to this day. And that's something that happened to me in grade school.
Why somebody call you a bus?
The sun.
Oh, the sun. You know, I was gonna say, did they call you the sun? But that's lame. Bus would have been funnier. Dude, that's why I don't wear red. Fucking Kool-Aid, man. I mean, I wear red now if the shirt's cool enough. But, I mean, I grew up and I evolved from that stuff. But the problem was, and I don't know if it was the same for you, but it was never bullied by one person.
Right.
It was always a group. Because, yeah, I mean, like, I wasn't like a fat, fat kid. Like, you know, I was a big fucking dude, you know. I mean, still to this day, I mean, like, I think I stopped growing like maybe my sophomore year of high school height wise. But I mean, shit, when I was 12 years old, I was 5'10", 180 pounds. When I got into high school, I was 6'2", and I was, I think, like 240. So I was a big fucking dude. And I was picked on and shit because I didn't have the awesome fucking beard, and I didn't have the amazing fucking hair, and I didn't have my outgoing, bubbly personality that makes me, you know, fun to be around and entertain to be around. I was, being who I was my freshman year, my sophomore year, I could have been one of these guys that people would look at as a potential threat in the fucking school. A quiet loner who got picked on by fucking people. Now, I grew up, you know, with the mindset of, you know, here's right and here's wrong. You know, here's cause and here's effect, you know, consequences and everything. So, I mean, that I'll say right now, that idea never came across my mind. There was never a moment where I was like, I'll show these fucking people, because it wouldn't fucking matter. It just wouldn't fucking, it wouldn't change anything at the end of the day. I'd be harming myself more than I'd be harming anyone fucking else. But as I went through high school and I was around the friends that I was, as much as I hated fucking McDonald's, as much as I hated working for the company, as much as I hated certain managers, there were managers I really enjoyed being around, and there were coworkers I loved working with. Now, the general manager I had when I first started, she was horrible. I'm sure you know who that was. It was an assistant manager that was kind of a fucking bitch, too. Nothing against, I have no animosity against them. I don't hold any grudges for them. I get that, you know, when you're in a business environment like that, you know, the pressures from above come down and there's a trickle effect. Right. Working with guys like you, which I didn't work really long with you. I think it was my second run for a little bit, but it was mostly Chad. Fuck Ben. He was an idiot. Tim. Not Tim. Yeah, Tim. Yeah.
Claxton.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give out last names on shows. Come on. Shit. I'm not editing that either. That's out there in the world now. But yeah, Tim, I worked with Tim for a very little while. You guys were cool to hang around with. And I think the end of the day, end of the night shift, sitting out on the patio talking to bullshit, it kind of helped me open up and be more of a personable person. Relationships that, when I think about it now, were not healthy for me, but at the time helped me be more of an open person. And it gave me a sense of, like, you know, like, regardless of what people say, it's even I carry this belief to today. It's like, regardless of what people think about me, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right.
You know, it's like people are going to have their judgments and their opinions about us throughout our entire lives. But it only matters what you really think about yourself. You know, it only matters what your opinion of you is, what your value is in this fucking world. And even those people who sit there and believe, they're like, you know, like, I bring nothing to this world. I bring no value, blah, blah. I was like, well, you're wrong, because your life and you being here brings joy to somebody. You just have to fucking, you know, open your eyes and see those people. I think if shooters and stuff have that realization, then things like this wouldn't fucking happen. If people weren't pieces of shit and thinking they could, assert their dominance or authority or whatever they believe they have over people because they were, you know, star athletes or they're the guy, you know, it's
right.
If you sit there and just treat people like equals, or better yet, leave them the fuck alone, we could live in a world where that shit doesn't have to happen on a consistent basis or on a constant basis. Now, when it comes to shootings that are politically based, religiously based, I don't know how you stop that. Like, those are
a different animal.
They're situations that are outside the control of a high schooler. But just to sit there and think, like, I could walk into school one day and I could pick out a kid who maybe talks a little bit slower, thinks a little bit slower, runs a little bit slower. That's somebody that I could poke fun at to make myself feel better. If you could get out of that mindset, then you could be a better person. And give them a different outlook on fucking life. I remember being I know even before I started recording, I said we're going to talk mostly about Combine, but, you know, we could talk more about our lives instead. We'll talk more about me. That's what I do on the show anyways. And blame Joe for that, because Joe just fucking listens. I mean, I've never gone through fucking therapy. There are times where I don't believe therapy is a good thing. I can understand it into an aspect, but I don't have a belief in therapy to an extent. That's a story for another time. But doing this show is very therapeutic to me because I can kind of give my thoughts and beliefs out there. But when I was in high school, there was always a group at lunch of special need kids.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, autistic, Down syndrome, just learning disabilities, dyslexic, anything. There's always this group. I mean, like, nobody really picked on them. Like, Piatone, for a sense, did have bullies, but they didn't have bullies who picked on groups of kids like that. And I could at least respect them for that. You know, if the football players decide to focus their attention on me instead of them, I'm okay being that fucking sword to fucking fall on. I would rather them pick on somebody like me than somebody like that, because I know I could take it and I know I could accept it who it is. Because I also know that I have a group of fucking friends that if ever did become physical, we dropped the entire fucking football team.
Yeah.
I wouldn't give a shit whatsoever. Fucking ever. I had friends who were just like me, big, thick motherfuckers who wouldn't give a shit. And on top of that, even as a freshman or sophomore being picked on, I still had the next grade up with my brother and his friends, and the grade above that, who were also friends with my brother, who there was no problem with them stepping up and helping me because they knew me, they knew my brother, they knew my mom. I mean, we were really well protected as a family. And I think it has a lot to do with my mom. You know, my mom was a single mother of three kids, eventually four. And she bartended in Piatone for 30 some odd years. And just there was just so many adults, so many guys who were willing to help out like a single mom. And yeah. It was weird because I had a dad. Like, it's not like, you know, my dad abandoned us and moved on. Like, I had a dad, but, you know, my dad was an hour away. I saw him every other weekend, twice in 2 weeks in the summer and shit like that. So he wasn't always there physically. You know, he made it to every baseball game, every soccer game, every track meet, plays that I was in, you know, shit like that. He was always there, but on that strange fucking, you know, Friday night when it was my mom's weekend and we had a basketball hoop we wanted to put in, there'd be four or five fucking dudes who would come over and we'd be building a fucking basketball hoop to fucking, you know, for us to play in. So we were always well protected. And back in, I think the hardest moment of my life was, I want to say it was probably my senior year. And it is 100% my fault. I accidentally found some trouble I wasn't really looking for. I told a story in speech class that somehow got relayed to somebody else who got relayed to somebody else that was taken out of context. And ultimately, there was a group of fucking people in Piatone that wanted to beat the shit out of me because of a misrelayed story I told. And, if they would just came up to me and asked me about it, I could have corrected it. We could have fucking moved on. But for that entire year of my senior year, I was constantly bullied and harassed by a group of fucking kids. It actually showed up at McDonald's one night. You know, he came through one of them came through drive-through, was, you know, cussing and spewing shit, you know, through the drive-through when they saw me and everything. Luckily, Laura and Liz, I was working with, not your Liz, the other one, Liz F. You remember her at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. But you remember Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of there to kind of like, you know, prevent me from, you know, getting involved in shit because I was pissed. I mean, dude was just running his mouth. And I was like, I'm bigger than this fucking dude.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, he's inside a car with an open fucking window, just, you know, quick one shot in there if we're gonna be done. But luckily they're there to kind of keep me in check and prevent further shit from happening. But I mean, between, you know, McDonald's, people like you, Chad, Graham, you know, fuck, even then Jeff, you know, you know, I had people in school, James, Matt, you know, buddies who, you know, I was well protected. My brother and his friends, Jeff, you know, rest in peace, buddy. I never had to really worry. I never had, because, I mean, first off, I knew I wasn't going to do anything except for that one moment at McDonald's. I never sought after anything. I more focused on just trying to just go through my life and just be who I want to be and just know I can be a better person and shit. But people get bullied all the time, you know, and it's weird. Like, you know, people can look at me like say like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fucking dude, but it doesn't stop people from fucking, you know, saying shit. And I know even to this day, I know people are saying shit behind my back about me, and that's fine. You know, the right people would, you know, they'll correct it when they hear it. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I know what it's like to go through school and be in those moments. I never had to do anything like Columbine, like Virginia Tech, like NIU, or anything that altered the course of, you know, history. You know, so I'm not quite sure. But I want to talk about you a little bit, Jay, because, like I said, I don't want to make this all about me, even though I did. You said you were bullied in school. You want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, it happened. I was a big kid. I've always been a big kid, but I was also in sports and all that jazz. And it got to the point where I would just take it and take it and take it. And it pissed me off. And then finally I realized I'm bigger and stronger than you.
Mm-hmm.
So an altercation happened in middle school where a guy I was pissing in the urinal turns me around. I didn't stop peeing. I pissed all over him. Then they tried jumping me in the hallway, and I ended up throwing, you know, those poles? The two doors will come and close the pole. I threw a guy through the pole, and they stopped messing with me. And the one kid's dad came from a parents' night, and my grandfather came. I don't know if you've ever met my grandfather or not, but he buys shirts. This kid realized that my grandfather was his dad's boss and left me alone. And after that, it was pretty much, I developed this anger real bad. I got in fights and shit like that. It wasn't until high school I started maybe smoking weed, calming down a little bit, that I developed my little smart ass, what kind of what I am now. But I'm a lot better at it now if I need to go out at somebody. But again, I never picked on the guy sitting by themselves. I had a bad habit of getting into it with wrestlers because it was just so much fun, because I did train in wrestling, real wrestling, you know, and I was doing backyard wrestling. Sorry.
He's up on a real word, man. Amateur wrestling. Yeah, let's come on now.
So I did.
God, you're a host of JFW, for God's sakes. Have a little fucking respect, bro. Real.
So I did have a little bit of background in amateur wrestling.
There we go. My guy. Come on now.
And I was taught to throw hands. I knew certain moves because of my dad, who wasn't around as much. I didn't spend weekends with my dad. So I was with grandpa. So he taught me a lot of stuff.
Yeah, your mom was a single mom.
Yeah, from the time I was 11.
It's weird, you know? My parents got divorced when I was 3. So it's weird how, like, you know, we could go through, and I think it was just, what, you and 2 siblings?
Well, me and Chad, my oldest sister is actually just my dad's.
Okay. So single mom, couple siblings, and it's nutty how, like, you know, like, we grew up two different fucking ways.
Yeah.
It's insane. I mean, we're friends. Man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see people making sense of how, you know, we became fucking friends, especially then, you know, because we're talking about like a friendship that started 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, and back then, like, you know, I've always been fucking awesome. I just haven't been, you know, I haven't been as awesome as I've been lately. And you were a fucking mess. And but it's like, I don't know, maybe it's like an opposite of the track fucking thing, man. You know,
we came to common ground with wrestling.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we don't agree all the way around.
No.
But at the same time, we don't chastise each other for that.
No. Biggest thing is fucking religion. I love Jesus, and you prefer to accept what hell's going to do to you. You know, it's, I mean, yeah, we could overlook that shit. It's fine.
I smoke the devil's lettuce. You pray, you know?
Yeah. Fucking, I want to find long lasting love, and you want to cry in the shower after whatever just gave you whatever. I get it.
But that's what makes certain friendships the best. It's like, we can talk about it, have an intelligent conversation about it, walk away from it. I'm not going to hate you for your opinion. Yeah. We just had this discussion, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, where we were going back and forth just as banter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Knowing damn well that I'm not going to shit on your religion. You're not going to shit on the way I think.
No.
Like I said, I don't teach my kids my way of thinking when it comes to religion. That's their choice to make.
Yeah. No, and you're right. You know, it's a mutual respect and understanding that regardless of what we believe or what we do in life, we know who we are as people.
Right.
You know, I sit here and I could talk about how much I love what religion has done for me, what having faith in God has done for me, and what I believe could do for a lot of people who open their minds to it. But I don't shove it down people's fucking throats.
No, you know,
I'm not somebody who will fucking walk around with a Bible and tell you how you're doing your life wrong. Nobody has a wrong way of doing life. There are people who are making mistakes and making errors out there, which, you know, it's not a religious-based thing. It's their, again, it kind of goes back to fucking mental wellness, you know? Is there thoughts and lack of clarity that makes them act they act and do what they are doing, and it's affecting them, affecting the people around them. And it sucks. I'm not saying religion would help that. I never would. They need to help themselves before they fucking try to find, you know, help somewhere else. You know, admitting that you have a problem and seeking out that help, which again, I can understand why therapy is good for some people, but I think if it's just to go to therapy because you feel stressed about something does not make sense to me. If you have an issue mentally that you feel you may need to be medicated for, by all means, go see somebody. But I think everything that happens in this world is all based on mental processing of like the point of view and how life is working. When you want to sit there and just a generic example for the people in the world. Let's say you date somebody and then you guys break up and their whole belief is, well, I'm going to destroy this fucking person's world. I don't understand why you believe that destroying somebody else is going to make your life fucking better when all you have to do is just go on with your fucking life. You know, there are people that I know that, you know, they find out that they no longer love the person they're with. They try to amicably end it.
Yep.
And somehow that person just can't accept it. And they use whether it's a child as a fucking pawn or some past indiscretions as an example or whatever the fuck it is. And it just does not make fucking sense to me. Now, there are people, I'm friends with people who fucking cheat on their fucking, you know, significant other and then dump them like they did something wrong that throws them into a downward fucking spiral that ultimately implodes from within, affecting them, their children, their livelihoods, their households and everything. And that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But the person that cheated, they're at fault. Because if you don't want to be with somebody, just accept it for what it is. Have a discussion over and say, listen, we tried it. It was fun. It just doesn't work out. We don't deserve this. It's just fucking better if we just part or whatever the fuck it is. It's just easier to go that route. But sometimes people just doesn't want to do that. And it's easier for them to find faults in others and put blames in others because it makes them feel better about themselves. And it's a fucked up way to live because life does not get better by doing shit like that. You know, admit your fucking mistakes in this world. Don't take it out on other fucking people because you need to find a crutch in order to fucking prop yourself up.
Right.
Again, I think a lot of that has to go with the fucking bullying and shit. You know, you sit here and you can have all the fucking friends, you can have all the fucking, you know, popularity and everything. But I think what the people like that lack is true friendship, like real fucking friendship.
Right.
I witnessed it firsthand my junior year of high school when I finally decided to go out for the fucking football team. It's like, why the fuck not? You know, I big fucking dude. I could probably put on the line, fucking do some shit. Who fucking knows? But when it came down to wanting to have a car, wanting to drive where I wanted to, when I wanted to, I needed to have insurance for the car. I needed to put gas in the car, and I had to have a fucking cell phone. And my parents weren't paying for that shit. If I wanted that shit, I had to get it myself.
Exactly.
So I had to get a fucking job, and I went to go to get a job at McDonald's. And the best way to make the best money possible is working nights. That was it, at 4 p.m. to fucking 1 a.m. or whatever the fuck it was. That 9-hour shift. That was the best hours to work because I couldn't work during the day. I had school. But I could get off work at 3:10 or get off school at 3:10, get home, get changed, be at McDonald's by 4 o'clock, clock in, close out, get home at 1:30, go to bed by 2, wake up and wash, rinse, repeat. It sucked, but you know what? I wanted to pay my bills. But because I did that and I had to go on shifts that no one else wanted, the Fridays, the Saturdays and shit like that, the Tuesdays and Wednesdays were there too, is whatever. I couldn't do football practice and I couldn't do the game. So I had to make a choice. Did I want to play football and not make money, or did I want to make fucking money? You know, so I chose money. And the moment I gave up football, my friend group dropped in half. Instead of being the cool fucking dude, I just to hang out with all these fucking guys, I became the fucking loser that couldn't hack it in fucking football.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for those who were on the football team back in 2005, who had mommy and daddy buying your shit for you and paying your cars and paying your phones and paying your gas and giving you money to go hang out with your friends and malls and movie theaters and, you know, not having to have a care in the fucking world. I didn't have that luxury. You know, I had a mom who had four children, had to work three fucking jobs and put a roof over our fucking head and give us a really good fucking Christmas every single year. So yeah, if I had to sacrifice, I mean, who knows? Maybe if I suck with football, maybe if the fucking people in Piatone looked at me when I was 12 years old and instead of saying, oh, he's too fat to fucking play football and just allowed me to play fucking football, maybe I could sit here as a 34 retired defensive end of a fucking NFL team. But no, I didn't get that luxury because at 12 fucking years old, I was too big to play fucking football for the local fucking peewee, whatever the fuck it is, football team.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know either until they told my mom that I was too big to play.
See, we didn't have that here. I didn't have a chance. I had a chance to play football, but that meant me going to, what's the Catholic school?
Bishop Mack.
So I had to choose Bishop Mack or Mantino, which my mom, again, single mom, she worked for the state, so she's not making bad money. She's not making great money. But she was willing to make that sacrifice for me to go there if that's what I wanted. Yeah. One, I could not do that to my mom. Two, none of my friends were going there. And the people that were going there were the same people I had to deal with bullying me. It's like, fuck that. I'll go to Mantino. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if that was an option, if I could go anywhere else. It made no fucking sense to me that at 12 years old, what did I say? Yeah, I was about, maybe I was like 170. Maybe I was, I know I was 180 when I tried out for wrestling in seventh grade, but maybe I was like 170 or something when I was in sixth grade. And I could play flag football. They had no problem putting me on the fifth and sixth grade flag football teams. But I don't know, maybe the people who were running the fucking tackle, youth, whatever it was, were too afraid I was going to fuck up their tiny little fucking sons and shit. I don't know. I just remember when mom told me that I couldn't play football because I was too big. I was like, at the time it hurt.
Yeah.
because I think that was the first time in my life I realized that I was fat. Like, up until then, I don't know what it was, but, like, there was never, I knew I was a big kid.
Right.
But after being told that, I was too big, I was like, wow, am I fat? And I remember, I think I talked about it on this show before, but I remember being in sixth grade and I was on the basketball team too. I was pretty decent at basketball. You know, pretty solid rebounder. Bitty basketball, I was first place every single fucking year. I'm just saying. You know, maybe it wasn't me, but I mean, come on now. Look at the common denominator of these fucking teams. First place trophies. I have them. I still have them all boxed up and shit. School basketball for fifth and sixth grade. I was put on the B team or whatever the fuck it was. I didn't get to go on the cool fucking A team, but who gives a shit? But I remember one time at basketball practice, they wanted to do shirts for skins. And I ended up on the skin side, but I didn't want to take my shirt off because I finally realized that I was the fat kid.
Yeah.
And the coaches were like, well, you know, gotta take your shirt off, blah, blah, blah. And I kept telling them, I don't want to. There were other kids who were trying to pull my shirt off of me. Like other fucking children and shit. Luckily, my brother was there to kind of fucking stand up for me and everything. And coaches just told me just to turn my jersey inside out or whatever. It's just like, you know, first off, he could just put me on the fucking shirt side if I was uncomfortable. But as a 12-year-old, you shouldn't have that mindset of being uncomfortable. First off, I don't think any coach should fucking tell a 12-year-old to take his fucking shirt off, but whatever. hey, you know what? It was a different fucking time, I guess. 2002, 2001, whatever. But also when you have a bunch of kids attacking another kid to try to rip his shirt off, maybe a coach should fucking stop it, but they didn't. It's whatever. But yeah, that year between the people who directed the football and the shit in the basketball thing, I think that's where my subconscious or my self-consciousness really fucking affected me. And I think over the course of the years, I never want to use the word depressed because I think that's a word that needs to be used by people who, you know, actually have the depression. I think it put me into like a state of sadness, but like, you know, it's like, man, well, I wish I could do this, but I can't, I'm too big. I wish I could do this, but you know, I'm too fat. Now I don't want to go swimming because I don't want to take my shirt off. You know, I don't want to go to a beach because I don't want to take my shirt off. I don't want to, you know, it was rough. But it was, I mean, I guess it was just the way life was back then. I don't know. Like, there's no, you know, people need to find something to make fun of you about. And, you know, I mean, there were a lot of fucking things. You can make fun of my lisp. You can make fun of my colorblindness. But no, you always have to go after the fucking weight. Fucking jagoffs in this world who, like I said, they need to make themselves feel better. And I wasn't a popular kid, but I was a well-liked kid. You know, I got along with fucking everybody, especially the entitled kids who thought they were fucking better than everyone else because they were athletes. It's like, I'm sorry, you play fucking soccer. Like, you're not fucking better than me. Like, I don't know what to fucking tell you. Like, oh, you're the quarterback of fucking Piatone's football team? I don't give a shit who you are. And I don't think I think that was maybe just another downfall. It's like, they mob mentality, I think, is what people call it.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't give a fuck what you were on the football team. And I lost friends because of that. I had a really good friend who fucking went off with the football team. And for 3 years, we were fucking great. Good fucking friends. And when I signed up for fucking football, he was excited. I was excited. We made the joke, you know, that Mighty Ducks joke, the Bash Brothers. We were going to fuck people up together. But he was able to fucking get his shit paid for by his parents. I couldn't. So the moment I fucking quit, he chose the football team over me. And maybe he needed that then. I don't fault him for it. It was unfortunate our friendship ended the way it did. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that deep down, If I really thought about it and I could go back and change it, maybe I would. But I acted a certain way. I reacted a certain way to an action that he did. And I don't regret it because, you know, he deserved it, but I just kind of wish it ended differently. But I couldn't beat up an entire football team if I tried. But I'm not going to, I wouldn't allow them to be, you know, I wouldn't allow them to act the way they did. I had one dude try to put me in a headlock in gym, and I bounced his head off a fucking locker, and that shit ended. I gave one of the football players, before it all started, he asked me for $1 to buy a fucking diet soda, gave it to him. A couple days later, asked me if he had that dollar bag. He said he wasn't going to pay me. I mean, okay, cool. I mean, it didn't bother me. I was making my own fucking money. You know, if he really needed that fucking dollar more than I did, so be it. Who gives a fuck? You know, he fucking had to suffer through life with brain cancer. So, hey, karma. You know, whatever. Fuck him. Dude, honestly, like I said, I'm a nice guy. But I don't have sympathy for people who want to fucking belittle and treat people like dog shit. And it's not just me. It's anyone in this fucking world who wants to sit there and pick on my friends or my friends' kids and shit. I mean, let's be honest. Like, I've never been the greatest to your fucking kids. I poke a lot of fun at your fucking kids. Yeah, because they know, like, at the end of the day, I'm going to be a good guy to them. Right. You know? As long as they're not fucking setting fire to shit in my fucking house, you know? I'm fine with your kids. Because your kids, you know, yeah, are headaches from time to time, but they're good fucking kids.
Yeah.
You know? I got nieces and nephews who annoy the fuck out of me, but I care about them, you know? I got friends who I care about. I got friends' kids who I care about. You know, am I going to go to your fucking kids' birthday parties? No. You know, but hey, you know what? Tell them I said happy birthday. Are you going to get a gift? No. Fucking make your own money. Buy your own shit. You know, it's just, like, if you're going to be mean to somebody, don't expect me to fucking have compassion for you.
Exactly.
Now, I'm sorry that your kids have to suffer through the fact that their dad has fucking, you know, brain cancer and shit. But you know what? Maybe you should have been nicer. And God's fucking favorite child, you know, you wouldn't fucking be smited on. That's on you. Keep that shit in mind. Fucking shit happens. Karma's a fucking bitch. But you know what? This is the life we live in. Now, yeah, you want to fucking, you know, talk about the tragedies that you fucking go through? Well, maybe you've been a better fucking person in your fucking, you know, in your earlier life. And maybe I would fucking care. I don't want to be a dick about it. Like I said, I am a good person at heart. But I don't wish cancer upon the dude, but I'm not going to fucking, you know, donate to his GoFundMe or fucking share his poster for his benefit. He's fine now.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, here's the thing about this fucking dude, by the way, you know, football star. Like, I'm glad that we're the same age and we're the same fucking weight, but I still have my fucking hair. So I guess, you know, deep down when we're looking at it, you know, whose life is real? I may be single, you know, and you may have had the family. And I use the word had because enjoy your fucking divorce you're going through. But maybe if you would have gave me back the fucking dollar you owed me back in the day. Who knows? Who fucking knows what would have happened, you know, to the guy who stole the CD out of my fucking car?
Oh, my God. I remember the story.
And wanted to fucking try to be a badass and shit, tell me to come at you as you lock yourself in the car and crying. I'm sorry I slept with your fucking wife, and I'm sorry you overdosed and are no longer here with us. Again, I'm not a bad fucking person, but I have no sympathy for horrible fucking people who believe that they're able to be monsters to everyone else to make themselves a little bit fucking better. It's not on me to coddle fucking people. And I get, you know, it's like, you know, turn the other cheek, and, you know, it's better to forgive and forget, and, you know, I understand that. And yes, I'm a good fucking Christian in the sense that I pray to God when I fucking, you know, I feel that, you know, I need to have a conversation with him, and I do my part for the people I truly care about. But for assholes out there in this fucking world who want to bully me, who want to bully people I love, who want to shoot up fucking schools because they want to make a name for themselves, fuck you people.
Right.
Be better in this fucking world so I don't have to be worse. For me to be an asshole in this moment, that shit is also on you guys.
Right.
And I know it's going to come off wrong, but I'm fine with it. I've accepted who I am in my life, and the people that love me accept me for who I am too. Because at the end of the day, I could get a message from some random fucko out in fucking Europe or whatever, saying like, "Hey, mate, you know, talking bad about kids, about not kids, but talking bad about people with brain cancer or people who die from overdose. You know, that's no way to produce content or to, you know, put that energy out into the fucking world." And to that, I say, fuck yourself. I don't care. You know, it's like, I lived a life where I respected and appreciated everybody. Two people in this world, two people in this fucking world, Jay. And I want you to I think I said this to you. And if I did, awesome. If not, I want you to realize this too. There are two types of people in this fucking world. People that you don't trust until they give you a reason to trust them, and people who trust people until you give them reason not to. And I put a lot of trust in a lot of people until they give me a reason fucking not to. Because I do believe that in this world, everyone has an ounce of kindness in them. But the moment they toss that away to show the bad parts of them, I want nothing to fucking do with it. So when you're out there and you're dumping my buddy because you're a piece of shit, and you unfriend me off fucking social media because you think that'll fucking show him, don't fucking try to add me back when you come crawling back to him. Fuck you, don't care. Because social media doesn't dictate my friendships. You dictate my friendships. And if you sit there and say, like, I don't want to be with so-and-so, so I want nothing to do with their fucking friends, well, guess what? I want nothing to do with you. And that's just fucking fact. And like I said, you could people could fucking, you know, they could yell at me, bitch at me, complain to me, fucking try to cancel me, whatever it is, because of the last 5 or so minutes of me ranting about horrible things that horrible people have done. But this is the fucking world we live in. And if people are a little too fucking nervous to fucking admit it, you're also the fucking problem. Yep. Be honest and be real. Fuck Columbine fucking shooters. The fact that they shot themselves in the head did the world a fucking favor. And that may be a dick thing to say too, but I'm sorry. You took 13 lives that day and harmed 20-something fucking people. When I get it, you suffered through bullying and mental illness, and I could have compassion for that. But the actions that happened 25 years ago at 11:08 in the fucking morning did not need to fucking happen.
No.
It was premeditated for over a year.
Most definitely. It doesn't make sense. It's like, if I had a problem with you back in high school, we settle it. And we settle it the only way we knew how then. Knuckle up. Fight. Boom. Fight's over. We're done. Yeah. You go your way. I go my way. Now, I don't know what it was like for these Columbine kids. I wasn't there. Yeah. So it's like, I don't... Maybe there should have been more counseling in the school to see that. I don't know how it works. I really don't. I know afterwards, like I said, things did change in the schools. We had a cop at our school. Mm-hmm. There's always a cop on school after that. I don't know.
And I know when I got, by the time I got into high school, there were like grief counselors and stuff like that.
Right.
I don't know if that was beforehand. Do you remember grief counselors being in your school?
With certain big events, I had two of my friends died in high school.
Yeah.
They were younger and they died in car accidents. They brought in grief counselors for that. Stuff like that. But, you know, they weren't there 24/7. We had a guidance counselor, but we're pretty sure he was drunk most of the time he was at school anyway. Nice guy, but
yeah. Well, most drunks are nice.
Yeah.
Until they get behind the wheel and make a mistake. But
yeah.
Like I said, I know if Joe was here listening to the things I was saying, Joe would have more compassion for people. And I love and respect Joe for that. Like I said, I don't want to victimize the shooters at Columbine because of what they went through before they caused the act. But I will, you know. I will point out the fact that that did not have to fucking happen.
Right.
I pray that back in, you know, April of 1999, that Columbine High School had people they could have gone to. And I wish that they did. I wish, you know, that they could have fucking sought help. Virginia Tech, Northern Illinois University, like all these people. I wish they had somebody they could have turned to. I do. I cannot, but.
Sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but my other question is, like, where are the parents? Now, you know, I have two of my boys are mine. I got a bonus daughter. When things start happening with my two older kids, I noticed a difference in my kids. Okay. How do you not notice a difference in your kids? How do you not notice them coming home pissed off? I'm sure slamming doors, whatever and whatnot. I'm assuming because that's what happened with my kids.
I know one of the mothers of one of the shooters. I can't remember which one. I know she wrote a book talking about the signs that she overlooked. I don't know the marital status of these kids' parents. I didn't look that far into it. I know when I was young, I had a mom who worked three jobs, was home briefly, was home overnight, wasn't home when I came home from school. Got home a little bit after, got cleaned up, went off to the next job and everything. I know there could be moments where people's parents aren't normally around. Right. I can see signs being overlooked then. Dude, you know better than me because you have kids. You have a kid that fucking lives with you. All right. Let me ask you this. And it may be personal, but answer.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
When was the last time you walked into your kid's room?
I had at least once, three times a week.
Okay. So you regularly go in there?
Yeah.
How do you think other parents constantly go into their kids' rooms? I know your kid's a little bit younger. Your kid's what, 10, 12?
11, yeah.
11?
Okay. I'll tell you.
Do you think you'll be in your kid's room constantly when he's 16?
Now, see, that's the gray area right there.
Right, yeah.
Like, I know my mom was.
Yeah.
I could tell the way she was going through my room and didn't put stuff back the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give them a certain space, but at the same time, if I see behavior weird, I'm going to go through their room. I don't give a fuck.
I met your fucking kids. I'd fucking be searching shit now. Your kids are awesome, but they're weirdos as fuck, man. I'd tell you right now, I'd be fucking rummaging through shit quick to find ice houses and some fucking Adderall or some goofy shit. But no, it's like I said, I mean, like, you're a parent, man. You'll know better than fucking anybody. You know, you know better than me. You know, like how many parents are really going through their kids' fucking, you know, rooms on a consistent basis or even at all? 11 years old, I can understand that, you know? Knocking on the door, walking in, saying, hey, let's get up. You know, fucking there's no point in sleeping until 1 o'clock in the fucking afternoon or shit like that. You know, parents who have kids that I have a friend who has a fucking daughter who, you know, she's done some questionable shit, you know, fucking randomly leaving fucking school out of fucking nowhere. You know, causing problems with other kids causing problems with her, fears of self-harm and shit like that fucking happens. I can understand, like, you know, kind of keeping a very close eye on somebody like that.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they're fucking doing. You know, you want to make sure that they don't got the wrong things, the wrong access to the wrong fucking things. But when you have kids, you know, let's say, because your youngest, you know, he's goofy, but he's a normal fucking kid. A little bit fucking goofy, but, you know, all kids are. At 16 years old, unless he has any kind of sign and everything, you know, what's the need to walk into his fucking room at any point, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he may open a door like, hey, bud, let's go. You know, we got, you know, we're going to fucking, you know, Hidden Cove, if fucking that was still a real thing or whatever the fuck it was, you know? But unless you see that fucking moment where, wow, you know, he's not acting like he normally does.
Right.
Like where does that breaking point happen to where you go from respecting his privacy to, well, now I'm tossing his bunk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it has to be an extreme fucking shift, you know? If he goes from fucking, you know, sleeping until noon to now being up at 6 a.m. and going somewhere with a buddy, like, okay, it's a little bit weird, but not far off, a little bit goofy, but it's like, unless you have those drastic changes of, you know, now he's shaving his head fucking bald and has a lip piercing, you know, like where for you as a parent for your kids, where's your point? You go from respecting privacy to tossing bunks like he's a prisoner.
I would think how they would act towards me, or maybe their mothers. So I do teach my boys that they have to respect their mothers too. So if I get, you know, if I get something from their mothers, something like that, or the way they treat me, or say my mom, because it's hard, because then you got to realize that age 16, rebellion starts. My oldest son really hasn't rebelled too much.
Let me ask you this question, and this is no disrespect for whatsoever. I'm just really curious. What happens? Okay, so I'm going to ask you this question, and it's either respect his privacy or toss his bunk, okay?
Okay.
He starts acting like you did at 16.
Toss the bunk.
Okay. So what is that? What is happening at 16 years old where he starts like doing what you did? Like, what's the change in personality at that point? I think you're frozen. We'll see if you come back. I don't even know. I love how you froze like this. Like, there's a pondering thought. So, I don't know. This is so fucking goofy. It's like, he actually froze. Like, I take most of my fucking pictures. Just, I don't even know if you can fucking see me right now. That's fucking, there you go. Hey, you're back. Now you're kind of back. You froze again. Now you kind of look like that messed up monster from Goonies. Here, there, you kind of have a stroke on the right side of your face. God, I don't even know. See, this is the bullying that I'm talking about. You shouldn't be doing this shit. Hey, you still like, God, what is going on? Did your kid fucking, like, get onto your Wi-Fi? Is that what's going on? There's no strength in your Wi-Fi anymore? This is insane. We're having a good conversation, and he's fucking it up. And this isn't even JFW. I don't even know. I don't even know what the hell's going on right now. I feel bad if he's talking right now and I'm talking over him, because maybe he, you know, maybe the recording is getting both sides if it's okay, but I really don't know. I don't know.
Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Have you heard me this entire time?
No, not at all.
Oh, perfect. I can't wait for you to go back and listen to this show. I'm not sure what happened. Like I said, you froze like this. Oh, you froze again. What the fuck is going on? This is fantastic. Something happened. He is, oh my God. There's a good chance we may have to end the show here. I don't even know. This is insane. Let's see if you still there, man?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on? Did Jerome fucking log into the Wi-Fi or something? And
that shouldn't matter. I have two different Wi-Fis.
I don't know. You froze up, and I was, I don't know. I went bully mode on you for fucking quite a few minutes. Okay, so let me ask you again, because I don't know how this recording is going to look, if it's going to catch your side of it and my side of it. If it does, fucking perfect. But what is the personality change that your youngest would have to go through from now to you? Like, what changes are recognized to where you say, I need to toss that fucking bunk?
At 16, I was very I was gone all of, I mean gone all the time. I would disappear on weekends and come back Sunday night. I had money, didn't have a job. Very disrespectful towards my mom. Just all around kind of was a dick, you know?
Yeah.
But that's why when I run into people today that remember me from back then, I'm like, oh, shit, which way do you remember me? It's like, you know, I'm not that same person.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Jerome is a special case because of the heart issues. So what he will get into, what he thinks he can get into, might be a whole different story. Cameron, on the other hand, I already know has tried alcohol, but he's been very honest with me about that. And he's done it in a family environment.
Yeah, but he's what, 17?
Yeah, he's 17.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Yeah.
And then hit that side of his family, that happens. And it's in a very controlled environment. Yeah. Not that it's a good thing, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So, how much of your past do your kids know about?
I am very honest. If they have questions, I do answer them. If they ask certain questions, I will refuse to at certain ages. Cameron knows more than Jerome.
Yeah.
But Cameron is 17. So yeah. I am very honest about my past and my history and all that stuff because I believe that's important. Because I don't want them to repeat the same shit that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Even my bonus daughter at one point in time said, I really want to try ecstasy. It looks fun on TV. I'm like, no, you don't. I'm like, what they show you on TV doesn't tell you what happens the next day.
Yeah.
Because for me, I produce a lot of serotonin, which is something that ecstasy hits. So I'm usually fine, unless I went on a binge. But there's other people who don't produce a lot of serotonin, so the next day is a real down day, like down. Like you hate the world, you hate yourself, and if you're not prepared to handle that stuff, you're just going to keep taking it to try to chase that dragon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But you're okay with your kids doing it, though, right?
No. Well,
come on, DJ, you did it, man.
Yeah. I know I did it.
Yeah.
I see what happens because I did it.
All right. I mean, come on. You get a kid come up to me and is like, hey, I'm going out with some buddies this weekend. They got some fucking X. I mean, it's not like you say, well, no, you're not doing it. Because, come on now. You want your kids to be cool, don't you?
Not that way.
No, it's... Those things are tricky. And again, I mean, you're a dad. I'm not. So I don't know if or when I'll ever have moments like that. But when a kid comes up to you and says, like, hey, you know, I'm curious on what this is like. You know, I outside of getting high once in my life, I've never done drugs. I don't agree with them. I don't judge anyone who does them. Because I'm around a lot of people who've done a lot of fucked up drugs that
I'm aware. You
know, they are good people, you know. but it's not like, you know, fucking my kid came up to me and was like, hey, you know, somebody wanted me to try coke, and I'd be like, absolutely fucking not. If I haven't done it, you're not doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Because I will be that dad. You know, 18 years old, I can't stop you, but keep in mind, fucking, if I have an 18-year-old who comes home and says, guess what, dad? I just did coke. I'm like, cool. Go do it in your own fucking apartment. Not here. You know, I don't think I'll be a great dad, but, you know, I sure as hell will try. But yeah, it's, I don't simply, I mean, how do I fucking say this? What's the right word? I don't envy what you have to go through right now because it's a fucked up time to, you know, raise kids.
Yes.
And it seems like you're doing a good job. You know, I haven't seen your kids in years. You know, that's not an invitation to come over. Don't. but, you know, it's, I always thought, you know, growing up, the biggest worry was sending my kid off to school because of school shootings, bullying, and shit like that. But now it seems like it's, you know, it's a fear of sending your kids fucking anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, because that now everything's fucking happy in this world. You know, there's shootings fucking everywhere. Churches, schools, malls, parades. We talked about, you know, said at the very beginning of this show. I hate the idea of one day having a kid who's going to jump in a car with some friends and go enjoy their fucking, you know, graduation night, worrying like, is my kid going to come home tonight? You know, we grew up in the same area, and the amount of drunken car accidents that occur around here is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
We have the luxury of living in an area where shootings are few and far between. Kankakee obviously does have shootings, you know, but we're far enough out of that to not have that happen here. But I mean, fuck, how many accidents have happened on County Line Road over the course of the last few months that people are up in arms about it? But it's like, I've seen accidents happen on Wilmington Road, County Line Road, Route 50, you know, it's fucking everywhere. Motorcycle accidents. I mean, I just lost another classmate, you know, him and his wife passed away in a motorcycle accident, you know, and it's more booze than it is anything else. But, you know, I had a family friend who was in a horrific car accident years ago because of some pills that, you know, everyone in the car was taking. I'm sure you remember it. You know,
there was, are you talking about the McDonald's?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it was like 104th in Wilmington. I mean, there were five kids in that car. One got ejected. One got their neck broke. Another one, you know, got burnt up. Got one other person got their face. It was fucked up. You know, that is the area that we grew up in was the accidents, the vehicle accidents, and the thing's like, fuck, it's because it's not always just you, it's the person who's in the other car, you know, and that fucking terrifies me, man. I don't know how, you know, you or your kid's mom or, you know, anybody else that, you know, who fucking have kids, they fucking have to have that realization. And the fact that, you know, you got a son who, you know, it's almost a legal adult in a completely different fucking state. You know, I'm sure you keep in touch with him, but
oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just so fucked up, man. It's just, I don't know how you guys fucking deal with stress. I'd be fucking stressed for shit like that. It's like, fuck, where the hell is my kid now? Where the fuck is he? What is he fucking doing? I was just on the phone. I just talked to him last night, but where the fuck is he now? You know, and I don't want to be that overprotective fucking parent because I don't want to push them away because I'm pulling them in too much. But, you know,
you have to find a comfortable medium and just trust that the stuff you have taught your children sticks and they'll remember that. And sometimes you're going to have to be a friend and a parent at the same time. If your kid's out at a party and is drinking, doesn't have a way home, yeah, they're going to call you. They need to be able to call you. And yeah, maybe not yell at them that night, but the next day, it's conversation time. I was a yeller for a long time when my oldest son was younger, but it didn't do nothing. As they got older, as Jerome was getting older, to have a conversation with them and to explain and be able to put it in words that they understand what could happen, it generates a whole lot easier. Because I grew up with my mom was a yeller. My dad was a yeller. I will shut down or come at you if you yell at me.
Yeah. I never really had much yelling. My mom was a guilt tripper. And my dad was a smacker. Like, my dad never beat the shit out of us, but, yeah, he'd smack us if we fucking needed it, you know? My mom would, like, emotionally fucking go at us. Like, you know, like, if, you know, like, do you realize what would happen if I was to lose you, Bubba? I'm just like, oh, fucking A. yelling. I think I'd definitely be a yelling dad. I think I got the voice to be a solid yelling dad, you know?
But I do too, but it's just, if I yell at my kids, they're like, fuck. We fucked up.
Yeah.
So it's not something I use all the time.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, the world's fucked. It's hard. I can imagine being a dad. April 20th, 1999. 49 minutes it took for somebody to change the course of fucking history. Two kids walk in to a school attempting to blow it up and instead shot and killed 13 innocent kids and injuring 20 plus people. 25 years ago, and we're still living that same fear every single day. Moments happen so quickly. They're not controllable, and they could change anyone's fucking life. And if anybody takes anything away from this day, I wouldn't take away the 25th anniversary of Columbine. I wouldn't take away my aggressive reaction to certain people. I would take away the fact that there are moments that we need to realize are very, very fragile, and we need to be able to spend that time with the people that really, truly matter. And to sit with them and, you know, fucking, you know, go grab lunch, you know, hang out and go do whatever you want to do, and let your kids know that, you know, that you expect them to be the best form of what you wish you could have been as a kid. If I ever become a dad, the one thing I would hope to get ingrained into my child's head that regardless of how you look, what you weigh, you know, what limitations you may have in your life, that you're capable of achieving whatever you want to do, regardless of all that, and that the opinions and views of other fucking people will never fucking matter. If I have a kid, which I know I'm going to do everything in my power not to have a fat child, because I don't want them to fucking live life through what I lived. But you know what? If they are, as long as they understand that regardless of what they look like, the perspective of fucking assholes in school should not dictate who they are as. And as long as I can show them to give respect where you expect respect, then I think that I won't have to worry about ever raising a bully. And the hopes is to help to have a child who has the ability to walk away from being bullied. And if not, fucking talk to me.
Yeah.
I'll go beat the shit out of somebody's dad if need be. I don't give a shit.
All day long.
Right? Right? If my kid comes home and says, hey, Johnny Peters is poking fun at me and making fun of blah, blah, let me get on fucking Facebook and find Johnny Peters' dad and see what he fucking looks like. I'll fuck up some worlds. I don't give a shit, you know? But always remember that tragedies happen in life. You know, we need to remember shit like fucking April 20th, 1999, September 11th, 2001. You know, fucking the entire fucking 2020, 2021. Like, life is fucking hard. And it's either created by people or by society, that there's always fucking struggles in this world. You just got to be better, a better person day after day. Just be better than you were yesterday. That's all you got to fucking do. And if somebody comes up to you and they tell you what you are, tell them they have no idea, because nobody knows you better than you. I don't care if it's a family member or a friend or a stranger or some asshole in school who feels he's better than you because he wears a Letterman jacket. Nobody knows you like you. Live your best life, be your best person, and you'll be fine.
Exactly.
That's all you got to fucking do. Jay, what are you freaking thinking about? Besides everything we just talked about.
I know. Yeah, right? It's like we just got done with like a serious discussion.
I told you yesterday, come up with an idea of what you wanted to talk about. You came up with nothing, so we ended up talking about Columbine. That took up probably 20% of this entire thing, and then we ended up just talking about how fat we were as children. That's pretty much what happened here. But I'm okay with that.
It felt good. I'm not distant at all. It felt good. But what I'm freaking thinking about is the Fallout TV show.
Yeah, what is that? That's based on a game, right?
Yeah, I've never even played the video game, so I had never heard of the game. I had no concept of what's supposed to happen, but I ended up binge watching the whole show last weekend, which I normally don't do.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a badass show. I suggest you check it out and let me know what you think. I'm sure Joe will probably check it out because he's more of a on the geek level like me than I believe you are.
Well, he does host a show called Geekcast Live, so yeah.
I follow it. I need to listen to it.
It's entertaining. It's 100% entertaining. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. What do you like?
All things geek. Over the course of the last couple of weeks, I've been talking a lot about this refinancing I'm going through on my house and trying to find the situation to put me in a better spot in life as far as debt relief and all this other shit. And I just had my house appraised a couple of days ago. The appraisal went great. Shout out to my mom and my sister Ashley for coming over and helping me like really clean this house and making it presentable for the appraisal. I appreciate so much for that. And I'm just excited because when I was messaging yesterday in the chat, inviting anyone to do a show with me and you said you would, we were talking about, Cartoon Joe, if he was okay. I told you he was, he's just doing some family stuff. It's just been really hard because, every time I do this show, it's a weekly podcast, a little bit of something, a whole lot of nothing. And the truth be told, we haven't been consistently weekly for many years. 2018, probably a little bit sooner. Like, we're not weekly, but I'll still fucking say it because I can. It's my show. But April has been one hell of a month. It's just been a busy fucking month. The last half of April, I was doing about a dozen podcasts, whether it be hosting them or guest spotting on them. And between that, I had a couple weeks where I was dispatching where it's only supposed to be once a month, but I traded with somebody and I was doing it, 2 weeks, and it's been stressful. It's been headache ridden. I haven't found times to do the show with Joe consistently, but hopefully we get back on track after, I want to say the week of May 10th. That should be the end of all this. I should be closed on my new refinance. I should be in a better situation. I'm going to buy new appliances because I desperately need them. I'm going to buy a new computer because as much as I love this computer, it is getting a little bit older and it's not living up to, what I needed to do in order to get the content edited and released and everything. So by May 10th, I'm expecting life to be the most, I expect my shoulders to be not as heavy.
Right.
Like the burdens of debt and making good money that I'm making, but never having money is something that I have not had in probably 9 years. No, that's a lie. 6 years. Ever since I got let go from my one job in 2017, and that was the snowball rolling down the mountain effect that I have lived with for so fucking long. I feel like it's finally coming to an end, and by May 10th, I'm going to be able to finally exhale and not stress about it. Have my, in a sense, have the credit card debt I accumulated wiped away. And granted, yeah, it's going to be paid within the refinance and everything. But you know what? I don't plan on moving away from this house anytime soon. But I also know right now that I'm refinancing the house for, I think, like 70% of the value. So even if I do decide to sell it, I'm going to have more money coming in than what I owe on it. And that was the important thing. So when you could buy a house and realize the value is twice as much you bought it for, at least there's one thing that happened good in my life, and that was it. So thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. There are things that I look forward to doing. Like I said, I'm doing a cash out refinance, and basically I'm refinancing the house for the value I owe on it, plus the debt I owe, plus having a little bit extra, you know, in my hand to do some shit. First is the appliances. The appliances are happening. The computer's happening. Following that, I got some trim and shit I have to replace that I'm finally going to be able to do. Because I want to look at doing shit at my house again with having people over. And I want it to look decent. So, really, it's just the burdens that of finance that have been really stressing me out over the years. And I think it's the last thing that's really stopping me from actually pursuing a love life and a relationship, because my biggest worry, my biggest fear is always like, I want to take this person out on a date, but wait, what does my bank account look like? Yeah. So I just been thinking about that. So obviously weight loss too. We talked a little bit before we started recording maybe going to the gym together. So that invitation is open to you as well. Because I want to start fitting in my shirts again, you know.
I've been losing weight, but not putting on muscle. I've adjusted my diet. If I could kick the pop, I'd probably be way better off. But
soda's so fucking hard.
It's so good.
I love fucking soda, man. I'll tell you that much right now. But I'm happy because I know I got people out there that are going to support me in weight loss. As soon as I get my new fridge, because I've been living without a fridge in my house for about a month now. As soon as I get that new fridge, I got to go shopping for, you know, I got a fridge out of my garage, but it's full of fucking alcohol and condiments. once I get the new fridge and I go shopping and I can fill it with new shit, I'm going to start doing some meal prepping stuff I've seen online that look really cool. And I'm going to try a couple different things and hopefully try to achieve the successes I had in 2018. I saw a post that came across either yesterday or this morning. At this time in 2018, I was 56 pounds down in my journey. Unfortunately, I gained that all back and then some since then because I allowed certain things to emotionally affect me and give up on my journey. So my goal is to hopefully retain that goal and then some, because before it's too late, I do want to get retrained in professional wrestling and have a match, at least one fucking match. And that's still the fucking goal.
That'd be awesome.
My hopes was to do it by my 35th birthday. That's happening in a month from now, so it's not going to happen. But maybe by my 36th. Maybe if I could really buckle down now and get to the gym and get in, you know, get a hold of it again, start eating right, maybe quit smoking. Who knows? But I want to be able to get – I mean, I could go do a match right now. And everyone says, like, oh, you can do a match right now. I don't want to go and have, like, a novelty. I don't want a novelty match. I want a match that once I step in that ring and I compete with who I'm competing against, be like, damn, he is a wrestler. That's what I want. I don't want a fucking novelty where I walk in and I do a clothesline and a shoulder tackle and a body splash and I pick up the victory. I want to be able to have a match that, you know, I can say, like, even though it was in the backyard on a fucking mattress, that capability. Even back then, being self-taught just by visually seeing what they're doing on TV and just doing it with your friends. Like, to me, I remember them being kind of like good fucking matches. And that's what I fucking want. You know, I want to be able to take bumps and do the moves and shit. And that's still the goal. So maybe by May 2025, maybe I can have my first match at Southland Championship Wrestling. I already talked to Hunter. He's all on board with it. He really wants me to be in a better situation. And I do too, because the fact of the matter is, regardless of how much people hate hearing it, I'm not in great shape. I'm overweight. I'm a smoker. I have asthmatic bronchitis. There's potential. I may or may not have had COVID. I don't fucking know. But This could be the very last time you and I ever fucking talk. I could go to bed tonight and not fucking wake up tomorrow. I mean, that's the same. That's for everybody.
Right.
But I put myself in unhealthy fucking situations to where you can see on fucking Facebook tomorrow a fucking Facebook post from Ashley, because she'd probably be the one to do it, talking about me passing away in my sleep tonight. And this could be it. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are going to miss me. I know there's a lot of people that may come to my fucking wake or my funeral, or, there are people who will be pissed that I didn't make the change sooner. And there'll be people that are pissed that I'm fucking gone. And the idea and the image of people walking past a casket with me in it, and just looking down in, grief, or maybe even a little bit of fucking disappointment because, again, I did this to myself. If only he would have ate a salad instead of a cheeseburger. If only he would have quit smoking. If only he would have stopped drinking. If he would have just made the changes, we wouldn't be here where we are. I don't want to put people through that. I know that my mom wouldn't survive a loss of a child. I know Ashley would probably be heartbroken. I'm sure, like I said, some friends probably would. It's a scary realization, and I know people hate when I say it, and they think I make a joke about it. It's not a joke to me. It's just a reality. It's like L.A. Knight says. It's just a fact of life. It could happen. I don't see myself dying in a car accident or dying from a mugging and shit like that. Those things could also fucking happen. But in May, when I'm on vacation at the end of the month, I am going to go in and I'm going to go get a physical done, get some blood work. I want to see where we're at, health wise. Yeah. I know he's probably going to say hey, you broke my scale, bud. I know. But not on my mind. And like I said, starting May 10th, gets easier and less stress or more stress free. And I'll be able to just be able to fucking smile more and mean it, instead of just smiling, because I don't want people asking me what's wrong,
Yes. yes, I do.
Yeah. So, Jay, I appreciate you coming on and doing the show with me. Thank you. I think this is what Freakness Studios really is about. Do it for me one time.
Freakness
Studios. I love that, the fact that we're able to create this and make it what it has been so far. I love the fact that JFW and this freaking show are part of this. I mean, why would it be? I created all of it with the help of you and Joey. And I can't neglect Alan. He was a part of it. He's not part of it anymore. But, at the beginning, he was here. But I'm also glad that the Power Hour and Fourth Mother Box have joined up with us, and we're able to kind of cross promote and help each other and shit. And I do look forward to getting Tom from the Fourth Mother Box on here. I have an idea. He's a huge Disney fan. My old neighbor Katie is a huge Disney fan. They both go to probably Disney more times in a week than I'll ever go in my fucking life. And I look forward to having both on here talking about Disney. Maybe explain to me why people go so often. But I do want to get Fourth Mother Box on here. I'd love to get the Power Hour on here and kind of talking about their shows, because the whole point of Freakness Studios is cross promotion.
Oh, yeah.
And the dream of winning the lottery and actually making Freakness Studios my job is still out there. Not for content, just because I want to be a boss of my friends. throw money at anybody, they'll do some shit, I'll tell you that much. But no, Jay, thank you so much for being on here. And again, thank you, because once again, this is the second time you've been on, and we have been open up and talk about our lives with people out there. And I think when we do that, it helps other people to realize they're not alone. And that's what we're here for. So if you guys haven't, make sure you follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, just by searching This Freaking Show. You could watch the video of our podcast over on the Freakness Studios YouTube channel, or you can listen to us on any podcasting platform you listen. Just search for us, This Freaking Show. Subscribe, rate us. Make sure you're subscribing to Freakness Studios, because not only is this video podcast released there, also all the other content that we do as far as Freakness Studios is released there, like the cemetery vlogs, some food ranking shit. I look forward to doing that, not only with Cartoon Joe, because I have fun with him, but also maybe you or Pac-Man or Nubby. Oh, yeah, you know, awesome. We'll drive around and, you know, eat some shit and talk about how great it is or how much it sucks. I don't know. But make sure you guys are subscribed to us wherever you do. Just search Freakness Studios. It's usually fucking find us there. So, guys, that's all I got. As always, I'm Travis T.
I'm Dizzle J.
And thank you for listening to another episode of This Freaking Show. I'm out.